The Super Bowl might be set, but as far as the Packers are concerned, attention in Green Bay focuses on the new coaching hires. We'll discuss them with Dylan Scott of Fox 11 in Green Bay. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. To Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Kervu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about a season concluded. And to do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone this morning.
Expert interview.
We have Dylan Scott of Fox 11 in Green Bay. Mr. Scott, how you doing this morning?
Brian, I'm doing great. Appreciate you having me. A little podcast, a little Frosted Flakes. That's the right way to start Monday.
Sounds good to me. We're glad to have you on the show. And Dylan, just so I can get to know you, so our audience can get to know you, how long have you been with Fox 11 now?
Brian, I just celebrated my year anniversary. So things have been pretty good. I got the tail end of that last NFC Championship game run and the full year this year. I'm originally from New York, so still kind of getting my cheese head under me. But, yeah, about a year in Green Bay, it's been really good so far.
So, yeah, I mean, how has the season been for you? I mean, you've now had a full season covering the Packers. What's it been like?
It's been a blast. I think the reason I picked this job is because there's all that lore and excitement with the Green Bay Packers. Here's a small city with one of the biggest, proudest teams. So to be able to come to them every day, to be all the way through the training camps and the drafts and the going on the road for the season, being in the locker room every week, you know, doing the Rodgers McCarthy interviews and kind of learning the players and kind of seeing how they do things. I mean, it's been an awesome experience. I think you don't appreciate as much until you see it up close. And to see what, like, the Packers mean to Green Bay and Wisconsin, it's pretty awesome. It's pretty special. I mean, it's a long season, I can tell you that. You can ask number 12, they'll tell you probably the same thing. But, man, it's fun. It's really, really fun to be a part of that.
Good. Glad you're having a good time, and we're glad to have you on the Packers beat, so to speak. Dylan, now that the NFC Championship is over, the Super Bowl teams were set yesterday, also the Denver Broncos and the Carolina Panthers moving on. But do you think the Packers would have had a chance to win had they been able to beat Arizona in the divisional round of the playoffs?
I hope the score would have been better than 49-15. I can tell you that, Brian. But I think, yes, give credit to Carolina. They look like the best team in the NFC this year. I think the Packers, the way they played the end of the season would have made you believe that they would have went into Carolina kind of fired up from that first loss and playing better football. But you watch the way Cam Newton played yesterday, four total touchdowns. He threw two. He ran two offensively. They look really good. I mean, defensively, they only gave up 15 points. And then you look at the Packers, the way they played in Arizona in that divisional round, and they played hard, especially defensively. They played very, very well, but scoring 13 points and then hitting a Hail Mary to get to 20, you lose Randall Cobb. You don't have Devontae Adams in there. You know, they ran the football marginally well in that game. I just wonder if they would have been able to put up enough points. I mean, defensively, they might have been able to hold Arizona to 25, 30 points in a game like that, but how much could they score? So I think they would have played a lot better than Arizona played yesterday, but much like their first showing in Carolina, they probably would have fallen by a touchdown or two.
This is a Packers show. We're not going to linger on teams that are not the Green Bay Packers. But Dylan, I know it's just one day after the championship games, but what are your early thoughts on the Super Bowl? I'm not necessarily looking for a prediction already. Although if you got one, I'd take one, but it may be some of the big storylines heading into the Super Bowl.
Sure. I think it's going to be great to Super Bowl game. I think when you look at both teams, it's fair to say those are the two best teams in the league. I already mentioned I thought Carolina was the best team in the NFC, and Denver proved by beating New England they were the best team in the AFC this year. So I think first and foremost, it's going to be a game with two really, really good football teams that are sound on both sides. And when you talk storylines, I mean, how good is that quarterback storyline? Kind of like a changing of the guard, a passing of the torch. Yeah, Peyton Manning, who's maybe the best quarterback in NFL history, at least statistically, touchdown-wise and yards-wise, in his fourth Super Bowl. Kind of a wonderful goodbye for 18. You look at the year, he had the ups and the downs, fighting through the injuries, and then there's a guy who gets benched, and he comes back and leads his team back to the Super Bowl. So to see him in his fourth Super Bowl get a chance, you know, to end on a high, especially after his last Super Bowl, is going to be great. And then on the other side, Cam Newton is the MVP this season. He's been spectacular. He's fun to watch. He's exciting. He makes it all happen. So to see him in his first big game, yes, Peyton versus Cam, the future versus what was the present for 20 years. I mean, that's going to be such a good storyline there. I think you also have to mention, you know, in Super Bowls over the last decade or so, you have your stars, but you have your secondary players too. And you wonder in a game like this, who are going to be the unknown faces, the David Tyrese per se. You saw Owen Daniels have two touchdowns yesterday. Is he going to be one of those unknown guys, the former Badger, to come out and play well? On the other side, Teddy Ginn or Corey Brown for Carolina, some of those unknown receivers. So you know the stars, but who are those secondary players? I think that's going to be a good storyline. Also, coaching-wise, I mean, you talk about the two guys, Gary Kubiak on one side for Denver and Ron Rivera for Carolina on the other. They don't have a whole lot of deep postseason experience, so here's a chance for these two guys who've taken over their teams to go to the Super Bowl and lead their team to the Vince Lombardi Trophy. How will these coaches prepare the next 2 weeks? How will they get their guys ready? What kind of game planning will they do? I think the big stage is going to be interesting to see. For a couple coaches who have really overperformed, I thought, in a lot of ways this season, to see what they're able to do. And then also health-wise, both teams kind of dinged up a bit heading into this one. You saw Darian Stewart, TJ Ward go out for Denver. On the other side, Thomas Davis broke his arm, so hopefully he'll be ready for that one. And Roman Harper, too. How healthy are these teams? I'm sure last man up, you know, this time of year you got to try and play it, but injury is a part of the NFL. So how healthy would these guys be? Coaches, quarterbacks, playmakers, role players. That's why you play the Super Bowl. I think this one's going to be really, really good. As a prediction, I like Carolina early. I'll say 31-27 because I think Cam Newton's playing the best football in the league this season, and I don't think that guy's going to lose anytime soon.
Coincidentally, two teams that beat the Packers weeks, I believe it was 8 and 9 of the season, back-to-back weeks, the Packers lose to these teams. What's going on in Green Bay now, though, Dylan? I think the big news over the weekend, the Packers have hired a pair of position coaches. The Packers have reportedly hired Ben Sermons as running backs coach over the weekend. What do you think are some of the challenges Sermons is going to face with the running backs?
Right, I think first and foremost, he might not be a name most people know, but I think there's a lot of pedigree to his resume. You see him with the St. Louis make that, and the year Todd Gurley had over 1,100 yards and 10 touchdowns. That's pretty good for a rookie, even if they were the last offense in the league. I'd say that's pretty good. And you look at the way he's coached a lot of these young running backs, Trey Mason, Zach Stacy, Dal Richardson, even the end of Steven Jackson in St. Louis. He comes from a good pedigree. He gets the most out of young guys, and I think that is what he's going to have to do now in Green Bay. Eddie Lacy is really the cornerstone of the running game here. That's easy to be said, but he did not have an Eddie Lacy-type season. 758 yards, 3 touchdowns. Not going to cut it for a guy who's an 1,200-yard rusher, considered one of the best in the league, a Pro Bowl guy. So how do you get the most out of Eddie Lacy? I think that's the question. Lots to talk about. Been coming in overweight this year, a little bit undisciplined, not mentally focused for the task at hand. You watch him play. I mean, Eddie Lacy's a hard-working guy on the field, especially on Sunday. He's going to give you what you get. But the preparation, being ready, that's the key. To get the most out of 27, that's going to be important. I'm not sure exactly what the Packers are going to do yet in terms of bringing back James Starks or John Crockett, but those are going to be keys to what do you do with this running back staple, this core. If you bring Starks back, I mean, how can he improve on last season? I think fumbles an issue for him and for Lacy. They had 10 total. They lost 5. So ball security going to be definitely a huge part. But also just in general, I mean, you talk about offensively, running has to be a key for this team. Obviously, with 12, you're going to throw the football, but you need that balance in there. They didn't have great balance this year. They were sort of in the middle of the pack in running the football, and I think that has to be a priority, is getting your tailbacks ready to feel like they need to be a number one again. This year, they lacked that a little bit. They did have some good games, but they didn't get the most out of what they need. They have too much talent not to really be able to use that at key moments in games. I think they wanted to establish the run this year. They didn't do a great job of that. There wasn't enough balance. So for Ben Sermons, he's going to come in knowing he's got a number one back, but he's going to have to squeeze all the juice out of him.
That kind of leads me right into my next question here. Do you believe that previous running backs coach Sam Gash was a scapegoat for Eddie Lacy's shortcomings in 2015? Obviously, there's all this talk about Mike McCarthy calling him out in his press conference for, you know, weighing too much. Was he a scapegoat for that?
Well, I think, Brian, Sam Gash and even Jerry Fontenot a little bit kind of fell on the sword this season. You talk about the Packers offensively, 23rd in offense. How is that even possible? They're the Green Bay Packers. They have Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. That just doesn't seem right. But I think of any season where they really needed the running game to be strong, it was this season. When Jordy Nelson went down and Tom Clements had the play calling under his realm, and it just didn't seem like they had the flow. They needed to find a way to run the football. Josh Sitton said to us in the locker room, we got to run the ball 30 times this year if we're going to win. We're just not the same kind of offense. And I think this was the one year they really could not afford not to be very strong running the football. And I guess, you know, Sam Gash is going to take some blame for that. We go back to Lacy not being prepared before the season. He has to know coming in, you have back-to-back 1,100-yard seasons. You want to make a Pro Bowl, man. You're a big part of the team. You got to be ready. And it just didn't seem like, at least physically, he was ready to do that this year. There weren't the same kind of explosive plays for him. He wasn't busting through tackles. I already mentioned 3 touchdowns for a guy who's maybe a top 3-4 running back in the league. That's just not going to get the job done. Fumble problems. The Packers lost some big-time fumbles in games like Arizona, where losing that possession in games when James Starks fumbled to start the second half, that really changed the complexion of the game. And I think it's not always how often you fumble, it's when you fumble. And ball security certainly was an issue with this team this season. Also, Lacy missing curfew this year, getting himself in the doghouse along with Alonzo Harris. That really couldn't be, you know, further from what they needed. So I just think there's all these little things building up. And in a season where you're not scoring any points and your passing game isn't what it needs to be, they finished 25th in passing, which is also kind of ludicrous. You needed to be at the top of your game there. And Sam Gash is going to take some brunt from that, because when the running backs needed to be called upon, they were not ready to execute the way Green Bay standards would be. I think overall, I mean, Starks had a very good season. Lacy's season wasn't horrible by any stretch of the imagination, but it wasn't great. So they expected most out of their teams. Mike McCarthy believes, you know, he needs the best out of all of his units. And I think he didn't get the best from Sam Gash or his unit this year. And unfortunately for him, he's going to pay the ultimate price by being canned there.
Yeah, falling on the sword. That was a good way to put it. Dylan, I got a similar question to you as my one 2 questions ago, I guess. But this one is for new tight ends coach Brian Angelico. What do you think are some of the challenges he faces at the position moving forward?
Yeah, I think tight end-wise, the question is, how do you get more out of Richard Rodgers? People always say Richard Rodgers isn't fast, but I'll tell you what he does do. He catches the football, and I think that's a premium on this football team. 8 touchdowns to lead the Packers. That's pretty good for a tight end position. I think you want to see him squeeze all the juice out of Richard Rodgers. What else can they get out of him? How can he grow in his 3rd year in the league? You saw what he did with Gary Barnage this year. He took a relatively unknown backup tight end and made him a Pro Bowler. I mean, I couldn't believe Cleveland released him, the job he did in his couple seasons there. I mean, he takes guys and really maximizes them. So I want to see what he's going to do with Richard Rodgers. I think the Packers will probably make some moves, especially a tight end, where They need a guy who could stretch the field and also work that middle two. So I don't know if they'll bring back a Perillo or a Backman, what they're going to do in that second, third option. Andrew Corliss, will they bring him back? But I think for him, his job is going to be to get the most out of that unit. Aside from Richard Rodgers finding and developing those second and third guys to be important parts of this offense. You know, they miss a guy like Tremichael Finley. Rodgers really lacked that deep threat this year, but they could have exposed the middle of the field. You don't always need to throw 50-yard passes to be effective. They could throw 15-yard in and work the middle of the field and make some plays in that way and move the football that way. So whoever's going to be the second, third tight end options on the team, or the first if Rodgers is the second and they go ahead and draft or pick somebody up, how will he be able to use them, you know, blocking-wise, too? They're going to have to do a better job protecting A-Rod from that position, also helping out with the run. So I think he did a nice job in Cleveland. I think he's going to come in here and have the opportunity to work with some talented guys. The question is, you know, what is he going to be able to get from them, and how will they be an important factor to this offense next season?
We're talking to Dylan Scott of Fox 11 in Green Bay here at Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Dylan, when Mike McCarthy held his season-ending press conference, he talked about moving Clay Matthews back to outside linebacker. Do you agree that's the right move for the Packers to make?
One word, yes. I think you, Clay Matthews is your most talented defensive player, and I think you need to put him in a position where he can make the most amount of plays. I mean, that's plain and simple, especially in a 3-4 defense where you have the linebackers covering so much of the field and making so many plays outside of the box. Clay Matthews is way too effective not to be a factor on every play. I will say this, he was a good inside linebacker, good enough to make the Pro Bowl. So whether or not you think he should be inside or outside, I mean, he's a Hall of Fame caliber player because he can play anywhere. He's still ended the year with 66 tackles, almost 7 sacks and a pick. So the guy played pretty well. But I think you want to see him get more back, you know, get back into the 11, 12, 13 sack numbers he had in 2014, 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Where he was out there making plays, getting to the quarterback on every play, getting into the backfield, being disruptive because he's so good in open space. And I think when he bull rushes, when he's out one-on-one on a tackle, I mean, he just can't be stopped. He's that talented. So he can play inside, and that's fine. But I think if you get a healthy Sam Barrington back and Jake Ryan progresses, maybe they draft a guy, they can find places in the middle of the field to shore that up. But when you get a really, really good outside linebacker, you got to hold on to those guys, and you got to let them play out there. He went 2 games without a tackle this season. I know that might be a factor with a lot of different things, but that kind of shows you that he was getting swallowed up in the middle, and maybe doing too much of the run stuff and not enough of the playmaking stuff, which he's just so good at. I mean, the Packers defense was really, really solid this year, so you were kind of nitpicking on a guy in the middle still making plays, but I think on this team, you have Julius Peppers' final year of his contract. Is he going to play another year? You know, what is he going to give you next season? So to have play back outside just gives you that number one threat, rushing, making some plays, being disruptive. And naturally, that's where he's going to play. But you have to appreciate a guy who goes inside and still makes the Pro Bowl. That's still pretty good.
As we start looking ahead here with the East-West Shrine game being played this past weekend and the Senior Bowl now ahead, it's the time of year to look to the future. What do you think are some of the biggest areas of need on this Packers roster that'll need to be addressed at some point?
I think you have to start, Brian, with the offensive line. They gave up 48 sacks this season, which is the second most that number 12 has ever endured. So I think you look at kind of an aging unit that's still fairly productive, but that still needs some help. I think Kent Thompson maybe addresses that in the first or second round, bring in some young blood guys who are capable of playing, maybe not starting right away, but at least pushing and challenging. This year you saw the line had some injuries. David Bakhtiari missed some games at left tackle. Corey Lindsley missed some games at center. Brian Bulaga went out at right tackle points during this season. So I think the Packers definitely want to get younger there. They want to get more talented there. You have to like the core of what you have, but you definitely want to improve. And I think drafting a guy in the first, second round who's ready to play is important. When you have backups like Don Barclay or Josh Walker, Lane Taylor. If you don't have backups that you're willing to put in and start right away, that tells you something. When you have a left guard playing left tackle, that's not good news, especially if you're trying to protect your quarterback. So I think they definitely need to go out and get more talented in that area for the future. We already mentioned tight end. I think Richard Rodgers is a solid key to this future, but I think they could use maybe a quicker, bigger, more physical tight end as well to help with some of those shorter routes. I think tight end is definitely an area where this team might address some talent issues next season. And also linebacker as well, if the Packers want to go out and draft a guy inside and move Clay back outside, that might be something they're willing to do. We mentioned Jake Ryan was a steal this year in the fourth round, but they might want to go out and get a guy of a first-round talent to play right away just in case a guy like Sam Barrington isn't ready right away, or they need some upgrades, or maybe go outside if they think Peppers is going to maybe call it quits. So I think linebacker is a place also they would like to upgrade as well. There is talent there, but you can never have enough talent, especially in the middle, especially in the NFL, where guys are always one play away from it being a season ender. So they could definitely upgrade there. And running back, too. Are you going to bring back James Starks at 29 as a free agent to back up Eddie Lacy, challenge Eddie Lacy? Do they want to go out and bring in a young, you know, talented guy to push 27 this year? Is that something they're going to be interested in doing? They have John Crockett. They have some guys running back-wise on their roster, but do they want to find a little more of that lightning and thunder kind of combination? Do they want more of a speed guy, a guy who can catch balls out of the backfield a little bit? So definitely O-line, tight end, linebacker, running back. I think those are the key areas where Ted Thompson, Mike McCarthy will get on the same page and hopefully address. I mean, as we know, Packers don't really like to go free agency very often. I think that's not something they really consider that much. So I think the draft is going to be a huge area to address some of these needs.
Dylan, before we let you go, one last question here. It was announced Aaron Rodgers will not play in the Pro Bowl due to an undisclosed injury. Do you think this is a legitimate concern, or is he just pulling out because he doesn't want to play?
Yeah, I mean, he's been to five Pro Bowls. He knows what Hawaii's like. I don't think, there's a dying need for him to get there. You saw him play the end of the Arizona game. He looked fine. I mean, he still could get off a 50-yard Hail Mary pass on the back of his tippy toes. So if there was something wrong with him, then he's just a freak of nature because he looked fine at the end of that one. And I think, like I mentioned before, he was sacked almost 50 times this year, took a ton of big hits. He's tired. I'm sure he's tired of answering questions. The offense is at a flux all season. You know, what's the deal with him and Mike McCarthy? Is he engaged? It's a long season. I'll tell you that. Even for a reporter, I mean, I'm going to Florida Friday because it was a long season for me and I need a break. So imagine the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. So I think it's an honor to play in a Pro Bowl. It just shows you what kind of season he had. People say he had an off season. Well, he still had 31 touchdowns and 8 picks, so I'd say that's a pretty decent offseason for any quarterback. So I just think it was a number of things, but I think his football season was over when they lost in the divisional round, and he probably just wants to get healthy, sit back, you know, take a breather here, kind of look back, reflect on the year, and just get ready for next season. I mean, I don't think anybody cares more about this team than Aaron Rodgers does, and after this kind of long and grueling season for him, you know, playing in a game that doesn't really count probably wasn't such a big deal for him. I'm sure it was an honor, but he can go to Hawaii anytime he wants. He'd probably rather spend it, you know, maybe at a cool Hollywood set or kind of enjoy his offseason, get ready for next season.
Sounds good. Dylan, I hope you enjoy your offseason. Enjoy Florida. It'll definitely be warmer than Wisconsin. So take that in. I appreciate you coming on the show. Appreciate you sharing your insight. And we'll do it again sometime.
Oh, Brian, I really appreciate that. If Florida is not warmer than Wisconsin, we'll be in trouble. I'll tell you that much. But looking forward to talking soon. I appreciate the opportunity, and we'll speak to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Dylan. Take care.
Thank you. You too.
Dylan Scott of Fox 11 in Green Bay covers the Green Bay Packers for the Fox affiliate. Thanks to him for joining us. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us, as well as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
We touched already, Dylan touched as much as I could possibly do on the hiring of Ben Sermons, which was reported over the weekend, I know first by Fox Sports, Alex Marvez has it. The Packers haven't even confirmed these hirings yet, but it's probably only a matter of time. Now, I don't know, maybe they wait until, because now we also know they're going to need an assistant offensive line coach now that looks like Mike Solari is destined not to be back in Green Bay this season. I don't know when they're going to make it official. Doesn't matter. We know these two hirings. Not a lot for me to add here, I except for the fact that with Ben Sermons, I think the most interesting part of his job going forward is he'll be overseeing Eddie Lacy's contract season. This is the last year of Eddie Lacy's rookie contract, and so much of his future is going to hinge on this upcoming season. It's probably hard to see the Packers giving him, you know, one of those extensions before the season just because of what happened this past year. Who know? I mean, maybe if he comes in into the offseason program, OTAs and mini camp like gangbusters, and is drop some weight and looks dedicated. Who knows? Maybe who knows what could happen in training camp then by the time July, August rolls around. I still think that's a long shot, but it'll be interesting to see Eddie Lacy, how he moves forward into 2016, the season ahead, if the dedication is there, if the weight is lost. And it's not for me, it's not so much about the weight. He's going to be big, but it's not that he couldn't stand to lose a few pounds, by all means. I agree with that. It's more the dedication, and it goes beyond, because dedication goes just beyond losing weight. It's the consistency. It's the how you view yourself in terms of, man, you got a few short years to make your mark in the NFL. It goes about film study. It goes about a consistent diet, not just about losing weight, but eating healthy consistently day in, day out, about working out, hitting the weights, and all those kind of things. There's more to it than that, and we'll see if Eddie Lacy is motivated by Ben Sermons, who worked with Todd Gurley this past year, the PFWA Rookie of the Year. But one more thing that was news over the weekend, a report from Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and wrote a column that got a lot of attention about Mike McCarthy reportedly being, I think the words being used were, fed up with Ted Thompson's approach to free agency and how he doesn't, you know, basically touch free agency very much, at least. He does go out occasionally, like he did with Julius Peppers, but, by and large, avoiding, abhorring free agency, I guess you could say. How much do I buy into this? Somewhat. I can see there being frustration, and I'm going to write a column at 24/7 Sports later today about the one big mistake Ted Thompson made regarding free agency. And there's a couple different facets to it, but I'll give you one of them here just to kind of whet your appetite, and you can read the rest later. But we go back two seasons ago, before the 2014 season, this is. The Packers made one key mistake, and you saw the player play yesterday. Owen Daniels, tight end for the Denver Broncos, scores yesterday, is a big part of the reason they're in the Super Bowl. The Packers actually brought him in for a visit prior to the 2014 season. We're considering signing him. He actually wasn't even part of that, free agency compensatory draft pick equation. They could have signed him for, and not lose any picks because of it. And the Packers really missed the boat there in 2014 when they had the opportunity to sign him and passed it up. That was a big mistake on their part. He could have been a big part of the team last year. He could have been a big part of the team this year. And that's one mistake Ted Thompson was made. There's a few others there that I'll get into. Like I said, look forward to that later today at 24/7 Sports. I can see that with if you're Mike McCarthy being frustrated a little bit by this, by and large, I agree with the avoidance of free agency for the most part. Yeah, you can understand where Mike McCarthy would like to see the team more involved just to show the players that are already there, show the players on the roster that something is being done to try and improve the team. You know, if they just kind of see the same old, maybe they don't feel like, you know, the front office is in it to win it. Because there are at least, you know, some minor moves that the team could make and frequently doesn't. And perhaps it has to do with waiver claims as too. You know, things like that, just trades. I mean, Ted Thompson doesn't do any of these things hardly, or they happen so rarely and so infrequently that it's almost, you know, he'll sign a free agent once every 3 or 4 years. He'll make a waiver claim once every 3 or 4 years. He'll trade for a play. I mean, as far as they trade draft picks all the time, that's not a big deal. But as far as trading for a player, I mean, it happened with Ryan Grant. Is that the only case where the Packers have traded for a player? It's like I said, it happened so infrequently, once in 10 years, you know, once a decade. You know, there's just maybe not that signal to the coaches, to the players, that, you know, more could be done. And I understand that, but I'm not going to, you know, get bent out of shape with this. At least, like I said, by and large, I agree with avoiding free agency, avoiding, you know, sinking big time money into, you know, free agents. You go and look at the players the Packers lost this year, cornerbacks Tremont Williams and Devon House. The Packers are going to get fourth and fifth round draft picks probably for their loss. And meanwhile, you know, what did they do to help the Cleveland Browns and the Jacksonville Jaguars respectively? Not a whole heck of a lot. I mean, they maybe helped out somewhat, but it's not like they were keys to their season, two teams that didn't even make the playoffs. So you understand why the Packers avoid free agency for the most part. So there's somewhat, you know, a little bit to it that you'd like to see a little bit here and there. I mean, even if it's just making a few waiver claims here and there, when you're talking, especially during the off season, when you've got the 89th and 90th spots open on the roster, you know, why not give some guys a shot and show that, you know, the Packers are trying to make some moves and maybe a little bit installing a little bit of fear into players on the roster in terms of that, you know, their job could be at stake if the Packers are out there, you know, looking for guys, looking for street free agents, and aren't afraid to bring them in. You could see that happening for sure. But so there you go. That was kind of big news over the weekend. Mike McCarthy apparently fed up with Ted Thompson's approach to free agency. Time for the next segment.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers this Monday, not a whole lot of pack. Obviously, the season's over. The Super Bowl is set. There's not a whole lot going on, at least today, in the world of the Green Bay Packers. The biggest thing that I found, and I wrote about it in our Packers calendar post at Cheesehead TV and or 24/7 Sports, is Senior Bowl physicals take place today. Obviously, it's the next step in the process of the All-Star Game circuit. Players are arriving and started arriving yesterday on Sunday to Mobile, Alabama, where the site of the Senior Bowl is held. More come in today, and basically Monday is physical day. They meet with doctors and just make sure there's nothing underlying that's going to prevent a player from practicing, from playing in the game. Every once in a while, something pops up that is kind of unexpected. I believe that happened to actually J.C. Tretter when he played in the Senior Bowl. I believe they discovered something that prevented him from playing in the game and practicing, you know, what are we talking, 3 years ago now. Who knows? I mean, it's not doesn't happen often, but I mean that's why they do this to fix things before they become an issue, fix them before the NFL draft. So hopefully their stocks are not hurt too much, if at all. And that's what the Packers will be looking at today, as you know, scouts converge on Mobile, Alabama. General manager Ted Thompson will most undoubtedly be there. Whether he's there already or not, I don't know, but they'll be interested in finding out the results of the physicals, and that's kind of the biggest thing today. There's an introductory press conference being held with Senior Bowl Executive Director Phil Savage, former general manager of the Cleveland Browns. I know that happens later Monday afternoon, but that's pretty much it. It gets more interesting later in the week. They'll hold weigh-ins on Tuesday. They'll start practices on Tuesday. Monday, though, is the biggest thing is the physical. So waiting for bigger stuff, more to come later in the week. And we'll be doing that. We'll be looking forward more to the Senior Bowl the next few episodes. I know on Wednesday we've got the next few guests lined up for the show. Nate Rao, beat reporter for the Tennessean, joining us. Not a sports reporter. He's an entertainment and music reporter, but a biggest Packers fan. And we've got him coming up on the show on Wednesday. We've got Paul Guillemette, Pigskin Paul, joining us for Friday. Right from Mobile, Alabama, from the site of the Senior Bowl. So we're going to talk more about future Packer prospects then. So looking forward to that. That's basically our week ahead here at Railbird Central. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time. The live edition of the show, podcasted and on demand later in the day. My call to action as usual, folks, if you've not done so already, we'd really appreciate it if you could give us a rating or a review on iTunes. Just when you go to iTunes, search Cheesehead TV. It'll pull it right up. It's the one small thing we ask of you. This show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. If you could do us a solid and give us a quick little review, we'd really appreciate it. It's the one way to get word out about the show and show people this is the best Packers podcast out there on the internet. But that'll do it for today's show. Thank you to Dylan Scott of Fox 11 in Green Bay for joining us. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us. We'll see you later, folks. Have a good Monday. I leave you today with a song called Can't Wait Another Day by the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.
Every night I pace the hall, just waiting for your call, anticipating your next move, it's got me bouncing off the walls.